When we started working on climate change in the post-2015, and we started from the beginning, we started from the Rio Plus 20 process and moved on as Cannes community to New York to continue the work to achieve the new sustainable development goals. When we started, there was really no interest on climate change. This is the first thing that we've realized. We felt that there is a deep lack in understanding of the climate change issue and its implication on poverty and development in general. This is when we started. And there were almost no interest on having a climate goal among countries. Slowly, we continued working on it, and interest has increased. The first countries that showed great interest in having a climate goal was actually Bangladesh. So it's good to see some representatives from Bangladesh here. And others started to join. And every time a new draft of the Open Working Group was coming out, the UN staff supporting the co-chairs would assure us that climate change will not make it to the next draft. 100% sure. We kept challenging that. And eventually, we have now a climate goal in the Open Working Group report. Having a climate goal, although, doesn't solve the issue that the understanding or the awareness among communities on the importance of climate change. And I say communities, it's not only on government level, but it has to happen on all levels to really tackle this issue. In the march on Sunday, last Sunday, one key call of action was that to change everything, we need everyone. And actually, this is the nature of climate change. It really intersects with everything we do, and it is the existential issue on the table that can affect the survival of human civilization. And it gets surprising when you go into outside of the climate bubble, which is the UNFCCC and such fora, you come to another forum, this understanding of climate change doesn't exist. The importance of having climate change be moved from an environmental problem to become a developmental and even existential issue has to be understood by governments and communities around the world. This is the only way to solve it. So now we have it as a goal, and there is a danger that if the number of goals are reopened, that climate change goal might be dropped. Also, having the number of the goal 13, the unlucky number, doesn't help much. I hope this doesn't affect anything. But we cannot imagine a sustainable development agenda in this time and age that doesn't include a climate goal. We really cannot, the credibility of the whole system will be in danger. So we want successful agenda, not only for climate change. We want a successful integrated agenda, and having a climate goal is essential for that. And what is annoying is that the main reason the climate goal is in question because there is another process that will end after 7 weeks, which is a negotiation process for a new agreement under UNFCCC. And this is the only reason. So just for 7 weeks difference, we want to remove climate change from a development agenda for the next 15 years. So it doesn't make sense at all, and that's why we think we need to continue on it. Now, I really stuck to the three areas missing there. And on climate change, there are three levels of improvement that can happen on climate change. There is improvement that can happen on the goal level, on the target level, and also on the preamble level. So there are the goals and targets discussed, but also there will be a preamble coming out of the agreement, which we think also is important and needs to be considered carefully. Now, we consider two goals to be climate goal, actually. There's the climate goal, of course, but the energy goal, we look at it as 50% climate change. So there is the access for all, affordable energy for everyone, and also having it sustainable. It doesn't contribute to greenhouse gas emissions. On the goal level, we really think that the strength of the goals is how inspirational and aspirational they are, okay? We don't, because it's not legally binding the agenda, it has to move feelings. It has to make people on all levels. The MDGs were successful partly because it wasn't only a government agenda. A lot of institutions from private sector as well as of civil society used the goals as a guidance for any kind of community work they wanted to do. And the more inspirational the language of the goals are, the more empowered they will be. So currently, if you look at most of the goals, they are very technical. They're very in a language that is diplomatically crafted. And I think we don't have to be in this setting, in this forum, to be that critical about the language and how much it binds us. Because in their nature, they're not legally binding. So we would like to have to have this goal reflect, the climate goal reflect some of the spirit that was captured actually in the climate summit last week. Many countries talked about decarbonizing their economy. Many countries talked about 100% renewable energy, reaching greenhouse gas neutrality. Ethiopia said they're going to be greenhouse gas neutral by 2025, a very inspirational goal, and ambitious, very ambitious. So for us, this we cannot achieve in the UNFCCC because UNFCCC is legally binding in nature. We cannot have this kind of inspiration. That's why one of the things ASCAN would like to work on in the coming year is to make the language stronger, such as for the climate change, we would like to have a goal that says achieve zero net greenhouse gas emissions as soon as possible. We cannot attach a number to when that would be, so in a political reality, but I think we can have this kind of spirit in the goal. We think that the goals don't have to be attached to the 2030 year. The targets, we think they have to be in that time frame. We think that the goals should be universal, not only in space, but through time as well. So they can be continued to work on in the new agenda after 2030. The same thing for the energy goal. We can also be inspirational, and CAN, what is working on is the 100% renewable energy target, which we can put it in the goal as well. On a target level, there are two issues with targets. There are the targets under these the climate goals and the energy goals, but also in climate change, we need to look at the cross-section across goals. Climate change is involved in everything, and we worked in a civil society process with the UN, and we produced a report called Breaking Down the Silos. It was the title of the report. And we want to look at the new goals differently than the MDGs, is that we cannot look at each goal separately. We need to look how each of the goals interact with each other, and how to translate it into the outcome eventually is how the targets can interact with each other. And actually, if you look at the different targets under the different goals, you see linkages between the different goals. And even issues that are not do not have a goal, they are have been captured with targets. So going to the climate and energy targets, the most important thing for the climate goal is not to interfere with the UNFCCC process. This is, we agree with the parties that it is important. We don't see value of discussing the same thing in two places. But this does not mean we should not have a climate goal. We just need to have targets that are not discussed under the UNFCCC process. And there is a lot of things that are not discussed there. For example, the development of decarbonization plans for developed countries and also for developing countries, low-carbon development plans, so how they can increase, achieve the development they aspire to without having to increase their greenhouse gas emissions. National legislation, the national arrangement on how the countries can put structures to work on climate change, these are not part of the UNFCCC process. So in a non-legally binding process like the post-2015 process, we can include that there. And the same thing applies for the energy goal targets. There are some changes we can have, such as having more stronger numbers for renewable energy and energy efficiency. Climate proofing, we see that climate change already exists under several goals, such as the cities, consumption and production, food, and poverty. They are very clearly linked to climate change. There are others that should be linked. Growth, so decoupling of greenhouse gases from the growth pathway. Education, at the moment, doesn't include climate change. This is another improvement we can do. And water. So food and water, they're the same thing. Both are impacted by climate change a lot. And the food goal, we include climate change, and we're needing to address the impacts of climate change on food. We need to do the same thing on water. And actually, I forgot to add peace and conflict, which we have seen a lot of reports linking the Syrian situation to climate change, as well as the Horn of Africa, and this will only increase in the future. Actually, many analysts say that the existential threat of climate change is not the direct impact of climate change on humanity, but leading us to a nuclear war or something really bad by competing on a dwindling resources and the lack of food and water caused by climate change. On the preamble, there's a whole paragraph in the existing preamble of the Open Working Group report, although this preamble doesn't mean it's going to be the preamble for the agreed outcome next year, but it's important to look what is in there because it could be copied to the preamble. We see it very general and misses a lot of key parts. For example, it does recognize the relationship, it doesn't recognize the relation between climate change and the other goals. And here we can use what was mentioned in the high-level panel report, high-level panel of eminent persons report, which talks about climate change in a way that recognizes that not addressing climate change will prevent us from achieving any other goal. And this is very important to realize if we want to remove climate change from an environmental issue into a development and existential issue, that if we don't address climate change, it is science that all other goals cannot be achieved. And it has to be reflected or copied into the preamble. Another thing, its relationship with the UNFCCC process. The existing language in relation to the UNFCCC only warns from the impact of the post-2015 on the UNFCCC process. So it talks about the countries, the centers that exist there. It says everyone is aware that UNFCCC is where the legally binding negotiations happen. Actually, we need to add to it the positive part of the interaction, which is that a failure of any of these processes will mean a failure of the other. So there should be linked together to say that the Paris meeting happening after 7 weeks is instrumental for the success of the post-2015 process and somehow it needs to be captured in the preamble. A final thing I want to say in less than a minute is that this idea of needing to have, I always wonder why they need to have manageable number of goals. I don't think there's any scientific or analytical reason for that. It's more personal psychological reason that the number is important. All of these issues, 17 issues, and it's great they reached 17 issues out of the numbers that they started from, are very important. And we will be working on them between now and 2030. On a universal level, the need to make the number small. And I know some countries don't want to open the numbers. They want to keep the 17 goals, which to some extent I'm relieved because I think they are important and there is no concrete reason why we want to reduce them. I don't know, maybe because the number that I've heard is 10. It's a manageable number. And the 10, I don't know, is it because we have the 10 fingers on our hands or the 10 commandments that Moses brought? I mean, if he brought 17 goals, would 17 would be okay? Or if he had 17 fingers, would it become okay? I don't understand why do we need to reduce them. It's good to be able to say the 17 goals, memorize them, but even 10, I'm not sure, even the 8, I don't know the 8 Millennium Development Goals of 2000. So should we take them to 3 to memorize them? Then everyone will start having cardiac arrests. I think we really need to consider what we will lose if we reopen the goals. And from my understanding, the most important issues are the most sensitive issues, the most politically tough issues. And if we want to reopen, we're going to lose the things that are different from the previous agenda. And we're going to go to the easiest, lowest common denominator, which we should avoid. I know every country puts in its priority tackling poverty, right? The goal will be there because no one's going to say, no, I'm against tackling poverty in my country. This is the reason why everyone puts economy ahead of anything else. But issues like climate change, conflict, governance, these issues are the tricky ones. And we will lose them if we reopen the number of goals. Thank you.